So this morning, I made sure I got my due already, went and got me a new outfit, got looking good, because last time I had a little mishap with my pants when Zach was here. But I made sure this time it's not going to happen. Nobody be looking down. Nobody be looking down. You can give me a complex or something like that, so I don't need that, so just keep looking at me. So, all right. We always kind of start out with a funny joke and everything, so here's my attempt. You know, there's really only two things to worry about in life. Whether you're healthy or whether you're sick. And if you're healthy, it's really nothing to worry about. But if you're sick, there's only two things you have to worry about in life. Whether you get better or whether you get worse. And if you get better, there's really nothing to worry about in life. But if you don't get better, then there's only two things you really have to worry about in life, right? Whether you live or whether you die. And if you live, there's not really anything to worry about. But if you die, there's only two things you really have to worry about in life. Whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. Now, if you go to heaven, there's really nothing to worry about in life. But if you go to hell, there's only two things you have to worry about in life. Whether you're original or extra crispy, so. All right, let's pray. All right, Father. And before I pray, actually, I just want you to know. You know, this message isn't just on me. This message is on us. So if you guys come ready to receive and you guys have a lean-in attitude and you guys are ready, man, it's going to go so much smoother. Because if it's just all me, we're in trouble. And I've been begging God to make sure he shows up because I don't want to rush this. I don't want to step in front of what he has. So I need you guys to help me. I need you guys to lean in with me because you having a spirit of readiness, I promise you that Holy Spirit is going to show up and it's going to be a lot better today. And I'm going to need it. All right, now we can pray. Father, we just come to you. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for this moment you have given us. Father, that we just bind any distraction that wants to come this morning. You have let us have an amazing worship service. You have let us have a great time, Father. You've prepared our hearts for this morning, that the people that are here this morning, the people that are online this morning that are listening, you have them ready to receive your word. And I thank you for the actions you have taken in my heart and in my mind to help me prepare this. Let me not mess it up. In your name, amen. All right, I want to take a little journey this morning. So think about when you were kids, when you were young, and maybe you're like 6 or 7, 8 years old. I know that when I was a kid, the thing I wanted to be the most, to be honest, is anybody remember Dukes of Hazzard? The General Lee. Oh my gosh, Bo and Luke Duke. Man, I don't know what it was. When I was a kid, I loved watching that show. I just seriously wanted to get in that car and ramp it so bad. It was the coolest thing to watch them. I mean, they were always trying to save the day in some way, and they always had this like mile leap that lasted like 30 seconds and everything, and crash and go. But I used to always want to do that. And then later on, when I got a little bit older, my dad, he loved like the fighting shows and stuff like that. So does anybody know Bruce Lee? Bruce Lee was like the baddest man alive. So I took Taekwondo. I just wanted to be like Bruce Lee. And then I got a little bit older, probably freshman, sophomore year in high school, I was playing football. So of course, you know, your dream is to go to the NFL and everything. But if you notice, I'm not really big. And back then, like my freshman year, I didn't even weigh 100 pounds. Yeah, not good for football players. But I did make it up to 145 pounds by the time my senior year was there, so you know, I thought maybe there was some hope. But then I graduated high school. You know, as kids, it just feels like the world is just limitless. It's just, there is no limit to what you can be, what you can do, who you are. I graduate high school, man, it's still just wide open for me. And then I joined the military. I promise you, that moment you get off the bus, and those drill sergeants are going at you, your limit of what you thought life was shrinks really quick. They will straighten you out so fast. But I made it through boot camp. And then I went to college. That's why I went to boot camps, to pay for my college. I get to college, man, I thought I was so smart. And then I took my first test. Man, you're just not always as smart as you really think you are. You take that first test and you don't study very hard, don't work so well. And if that didn't really bring the reality check to me, I got married and I had a child, and then we had to bring that child home. And when you bring that child home and it cries all night long, and then you gotta wake up in the morning and go to work, I'll tell you what, that reality check comes really quick, doesn't it? Yeah. I love you, Elijah. You're amazing. But you know, when I was in the military, it felt like they owned me. I felt like my limit was really small. And as kids, I feel like, God, the sky's the limit. But as adults, what do? As we mature as adults, our limits for who we, our dreams are and everything seems to shrink. Why is that? You know, as adults, we set limits for ourselves and live inside those limits. It's kind of like a safe zone. You know what I mean? I know I've set so many limits for who I think I'm supposed to be. And a lot of times we blame that safe zone on like the government or other people or maybe our parents. But truly, who's to blame? I'm to blame for my own limits that I've set. It's so true. You know, I've been saved at this point for a long time, but when I was about 2 years into being saved, my pastor came to me and he said, I think you're supposed to be our youth pastor. And I know I've told that story a few times. I was like, this dude's crazy. I was like, it takes a special person to be called into something like that. And it really does. But I thought, how could God use somebody like me? I really don't know that much. But he came and he was just like, you're supposed to be our youth pastor. And I'll tell you what, I could have just said no. And I wanted to say no really bad. That's scary to even consider a pastor, because I know I heard it said one time, this guy said, you know, you become a pastor, but if you would have been president of the United States, you would have had to step up to become a pastor because it's such a higher calling. And it always stuck with me. So when I heard somebody say, hey, I want you to be our youth pastor, I was just like, oh my gosh. No, I'm good. He's like, will you pray about it? And I'm like, all right, I'll pray about it, which I did push that off for like 6 months. He was pretty persistent and everything. But if I would have said no, it would have changed my life forever. I know that because I said yes. And when I said yes, that yes in my life changed so many other lives, because we didn't have a youth at the time, and then we got a youth. I still have relationships with some of those people that I first started with. I've gotten so many opportunities to see people. I promise you, when you say yes to God, you get so many opportunities to be a part of people's life. It will change your own life. It's so amazing to be part of the kids, their lives, to watch them get older. I mean, we got to see them sing on stage. Did you guys see that? Wasn't that amazing to get to see kids get up here and worship God that way? That doesn't happen unless somebody says yes. Now, I'm not the one over the band. That's that young man right there. He's the one over the band. He's the one who's worked very hard to help them. This guy doesn't just go, hey, we'll come and practice every week. He's like, send me videos. Let's work on it. He helps them each practice what they can do better. He shows up. I have so many countless stories that I got to be a part of. It's one of the reasons my wife fell in love with me when I became a youth pastor. It was something that she's seen. We met online, and it was something that she read about me. And she had been searching for somebody in her life that was a true Christian. And she said, I'm gonna give this guy a shot. Thank God she did. And you know, as a youth pastor, you gotta be ready for whatever they ask. Because those guys, they will ask you stuff. I mean, they ain't scared. Like adults, a lot of times, like I don't always ask questions, but youth kids, they ain't really scared, but you get to be a part of things in their life. As a youth pastor, you get to tell them about the Red Sea parting, what that was all about, and how God used the Israelites. You get to tell them about Jesus and his death and what that all meant. You get to tell them so many amazing stories like David and Goliath. Because when you tell them those stories and you bring them to life, you get to see this light come on in their eyes. And I promise you, when you do something like that for somebody and you answer that call, yes, God will show up. And it becomes almost like a drug or an addiction to get to see that in somebody's life. It really does. It'll make you change who you are. It has changed me and my family. You know, I've talked to a lot of older people. We won't define what older means. And a lot of them wish that they could go back over time and, you know, do things different. I've heard them speak, and a lot of times they're talking, they felt like maybe they limit themselves. And this is my whole message today, is talking about limitless and how God's just limitless and how we limit ourselves. And I never wanted to be that person that limit myself. So it's very hard sometimes to say yes when you just, your flesh just says no, no, no. It's so hard to get to that point you're just like, yes. And I feel like it just feels like, you know, we've tied ourselves down with so few options in life as we get older. And we do that with God. You know, if it feels like it doesn't work a certain way, sometimes it just feels like he's not going to show up. So I want to take the first verse we're going to throw up there is going to be John 11, 32 through 37. And this is about the story of Lazarus. This is about he had died, and Jesus was showing up on the scene, and you got Mary and Martha. And we're going to talk about this real quick. In 32, it says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had just been here, my brother would have not died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and trouble. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. It says, Jesus wept. It's supposed to be the God to dry tears, but he wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Do you see what they did right there? They labeled him. They thought that he was just a healer, but he didn't show up in time to heal. So what did they think? They thought it was over. They didn't see anything else. So they thought it was over. Boy, they were wrong, weren't they? You know, we often want to define people. This is the first point I would have. We often want to define people, and we want to define God and ourselves by our worst moments. Like, we take our worst moments and make them our limits. That's our limits. That's as far as we can go. We see our failures, and we think that's who we are. Have you ever met somebody that lived in, like, a totally different world where they just didn't have limits on their life? I mean, you're just like, dude, you are, whoa, holy cow. But there was nothing to stop them. Like, they would just go and go, and they would just try new things. A lot of times those people scare us because that's not how we are. We want to live in these little spaces between here. You know, I know a group of people that decided to start a church in the middle of COVID. It didn't make sense to start a church in the middle of COVID, but they didn't let it limit them. They're really good friends of mine, by the way. And the church is going really, really well. And God has shown up so much in this church. And you guys are sitting in it to this day. My second point is, you can tell yourself a summary of what you are and what you're not based on the experiences you have, not the potential you carry. If you feel like, I don't think I can do this, so I can't do it. My potential is here, and that's all it is. That's all I've ever accomplished, so this is where I am. I can only be limited to here. But the truth is, we serve a limitless God, don't we? He has no limits. The only limits he has is what you put on him in your life. We have to get to a place that we're open, just like the tomb was when he came out of it. You want to write this one down? This was really good. We have to unlearn our limitations that we have set on ourselves. I'll repeat that one. We have to unlearn our limitations that we have set on ourselves. We have to stop thinking God only does it one way, and it's the way we know how. Why do you think, let's talk about Thomas. Thomas is a disciple. Why do you think that when Jesus came out of the tomb, he made Thomas wait till the end? He had shown up to all the other disciples, but he made Thomas wait to the end. But when he seen him, what did he say to him? Jesus told him, "Blessed are those who have not seen and still believe." How do you think Thomas felt at that point? He's the one who doubted Jesus, then he got to see him. And Jesus just, "Blessed are the ones who haven't seen that still believe." Man, he had to be like, "Oh my gosh, that's tough." You know, when Jesus came rolling in for Mary and Martha, they both said the same thing, didn't they? "If you would have only been here, if you would have only been here in time, I know." But one of them said something different. Everybody say, "But Martha." But Martha said, "But I know even now God will give you whatever you ask." You know, at that moment, what she was basically saying is, everything I've heard about you and everything I know about you and what I see or what I thought is so much more. And I know that God can do something. I know that God can show up and do something if you just ask for it. Now, I guarantee you she wasn't thinking that he was going to come out. That's just crazy to think of. But Jesus knew exactly what was about to happen. He showed up late on purpose. She took the limits off her life that day. Now, I have my son, both of them, they play golf. I got my daughter into golf. He has this scripture on the side of his bag, Philippians 4:13. If you guys want to throw that up there, you can. I think everybody probably knows this by heart. But he has this scripture on his bag, and sometimes he is struggling. It's having a bad round. He's just trying to do everything he possibly can. And a lot of times I'll look at him, and I'll be like, "Hey, bub, what's your bag say?" Now, it's on his bag like this big. And he loves that verse. And I don't say it in a condemning way, because I don't want him to feel like, you know, "Hey, you're not doing it." I want him to think, "Man, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through him who gives me strength." But really, in all reality, do we believe that? Do you believe in your life when you read that word, it says, "I can do all"? It doesn't say some or a little bit, it says all. Do you believe that in your life, that you really can do anything? Do you believe that he can do anything through you? Because I feel like if we lived in that limit, we wouldn't be here. We would start spreading that out, and we would live that out, and we would live more of a limitless life like God is, and we would go out in the community, we would do things, because to be honest, we have the greatest thing in the world, and there's tons of chairs not full in here, and it doesn't matter who's preaching. What matters is that God's here and they can get him, but the chairs still have tons and tons of open seats in them. It doesn't matter what church you go to. They have tons of open seats. But if we live this limitless life, we would step out and be like, "Man, God can do it. He said, do this. I say yes. He said, do this. I say yes." But we don't. We get scared and we go to work. And we live in this little bubble, a safe zone that, I've created it too, guys. It is not just you, trust me. I've created a safe little bubble that I enjoy when I wake up, when I go to sleep, how I work. As much as I'm around my wife, as much as I'm around my kids, what I say to my kids, the things that I go to, we all create this limit. I was just thinking of I don't want to go that fast, sorry. Since I follow Christ, I have to make a choice in my life, my limits. When you look at Matthew and Mark, they talk about having a childlike faith. Kids, man, you tell them something as an adult, they believe it. You say, I need you to go do this, they'll do it. But as adults, we're like, wait. Are you sure? I don't know about that. Maybe if I just, can I wait on this? Can I pray on that? Can we talk about this later? I mean, this is how it feels like adults. It's like, man, I don't know if that adds up, and I need to get some more information on that, which is fine if you need to check if somebody's not doing something biblically correct. But if God has called you to do something and you're saying, wait, what have you just done? You put a limit on what he can do in your life. I don't want those limits in my life. I love it that kids just believe. You know, when Jesus went to his own village, what did he do? He couldn't do a lot, could he, Zach? He couldn't do a lot. He went there wanting to do the same thing he's been doing everywhere, but they're like, wait, we know this guy. So they put a limit on him of what he can do. They put the limit on him. You get to put the limit on him. That shows we can put a limit on God. And I feel like sometimes in our faith, it would feel like this. If I took Hope, my little daughter up here, and I had Aiden, who's like this tall up here, and it's almost like we feel like our faith is so little, but what we got to overcome is so big. And it gets scary, and you're like, man, there's no way this girl's going to whoop this dude. There's just no way she can do that. But in all reality, it's the totally opposite. You've already got the victory. God can do it if he's called you into it. And if you just believe him, I promise you, you're the big person, and the problem is very small, because I guarantee you she ain't going to be climbing up over Aiden and taking him out. He can take her down. I've seen him. He's a pretty tough guy. You think you got him, Hope? It's time that we get back to that childlike faith of what God can do and stop putting limits on our life. In Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, it says, Chastity, I'm using the same verse you did, so I was like, sweet, that's my verse. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. For years now, we have been defining ourselves by our dysfunction. We do it all the time. I think it's some sort of cop-out that we do. Because if we condemn ourselves, we don't have to work towards a change. You guys know what I mean. We say things like, it's just how I am. I'm not very organized. It's just how I am. Guess what? They make things for that nowadays. It's just how I am. Or I'm just a perfectionist. No, you're a painter. No, I mean, you're awesome. I need that in my life. So. I love you, baby. You're amazing. She's organized. Not a pain, most of the time. Okay, I better undig a hole real quick. When we start to label ourselves, we limit ourselves. We're more than just a label. Let's go back to Thomas for a minute. Does everybody know Thomas's nickname? Didymus, huh? What's that mean? Twin. Means twin. You ever feel like there's two of you, by the way? I know sometimes I do. Probably all the time I do. Because one day I'm worshiping God, and there is nothing in the world that can get to me. I am just like armored out, ready to roll. And sometimes 10 minutes later, I'm asking God, where the heck are you? My bills aren't getting paid. Where you at? I need you to show up in my life. Where you at? Come on, I don't hear you. Where are you at? And then I wake up tomorrow and I'm like, "Ooh, God, you're so good. I can just feel your presence. Oh, you're so good. No limitations in my life. I'll do whatever you ask. Whatever you need, I'm here." Then I come home, the stresses of family and stuff come on, and you're like, holy cow, slow down, stop. You guys ever feel that way? Like you're two people sometimes? When Thomas heard that Jesus was alive and resurrected, he doubted it. What was the one thing that he wanted to see? His scars. I mean, he's seen this guy walk on water, heal the blind man, feed thousands, but he never seen him come back from the dead. Jesus said to him, "Blessed are those who have not seen and still believe." One commentator said that what Thomas says next is the most powerful expression of faith in any gospel account. Thomas replied to this. Now, this is a man who doubts. And he's seen Jesus. Thomas replied, "My Lord, my God." He went from doubting to saying, "You're my God. You're not just a man that could walk on water. You're my God. I believe you are God." Man, that is so powerful. If that doesn't really give you chills, in my mind, I just picture him going, "My God, my Lord, my God," and it's breaking. Let me ask you something. What do you take from the fact that one of the most powerful expressions of faith was uttered from the disciple with the greatest doubt? Even though you might be a skeptic, that doesn't mean that's who you are. Or maybe you're addicted to something. Doesn't mean you're an addict or have to be an addict. You're so much more than that. Even though you have limited yourself to the path you have seen thus far, Jesus said, "It's great to see it and believe it, but blessed are those that can believe it and you don't even see it." Don't put limits on what God can do in your life or who you become through Christ. I don't like it when I hold back and I limit myself. And I do it all the time. You know, as a husband, I come into my marriage with just a limited experience. Everybody's the same way. You know, the only thing I've gotten to see is my parents. Now, my parents, they were super young when they got married. My mom was 14. Was dad 16 or 17? 17. My dad had turned 17, got married, 14 years old. I got one turning 14 in a week. There's no, boy, you better not be getting married at 14 years old. So, but they made it 12 years. Now, that's amazing. At that age, that's amazing. But what I remember is I came into my marriage and I'm, so excited about my marriage. We had a great honeymoon. And then we had our first fight. And then our first fight lasted like a whole year, it felt like. And I really was like, I don't think I'm making it. My parents made it at 14, 12 years. And I'm 25. And I can't make it a year. But the moment that I finally was like, you know what? The problem isn't her. I put limits on what I know our relationship's supposed to look like. And I was like, what am I doing here? What did I do wrong, God? Show me and open my eyes. Take me through this so I can do what you're calling me to do. And once I just released that, let him have everything, the limits opened up and I changed and we changed. And now I don't know. Our marriage is so strong. I love my wife. I love my wife. I like her too. I don't just like her and love her. I both. Like it goes hand in hand for me. I enjoy coming home. She loves me. I have no doubt. I didn't have to worry about her faith because, man, she had some faith. So when I married her, her faith and my faith coming together, man, it was strong. But if I wouldn't have let God have it, man, I would have been so messed up. And as a parent, you have kids, and you know what we can do with our kids? If we ain't careful, what we can do is take these limitations that we put on our life and we put them on them. We hand them to them, and we say, you know what? This is what I have in my life, and this is what you're going to get in your life. they're not really your kids. They're his kids. Calvin, guess what I got to do last night? I got to have some tailgate time with Jesus, with my son. But if I would have been tired, which I was, and thinking, I got to wake up early in the morning and come and preach. I got to wake up more. I got to be ready and rested. I could have just let him do his thing. But when you step out for your kids and you do what you need to do, God shows up in a mighty way. Because I promise you, you take those limits and you stick them on them, you have just scarred them. You've hurt them. You've put on your doubt, your confusion on their life. And they're God's kids. Your job's to get out of the way in that way. He wants to take their heart. I mean, if they got something, they're like, I'm going to go do this. I can do this. You got to support them in that. To an extent, some of them, they get a little crazy and stuff like that. Don't become Dukes of Hazzard or anything. That gets pretty wild. Well, that'd been fun, though. Being a parent, man, that has taught me so much. And being a youth pastor has changed my life forever. I mean, let's get real. You serve a limitless God. Just look at the creations around you. I mean, if you guys ever drove through the mountains, we ain't got them really in Oklahoma. So when you go there, you see this beautiful mountains, and you're like, wow. It's like you can just feel God in those moments. When's the last time you woke up early in the morning and just went outside and listened to the birds? How free they are. And just hearing the birds. Or seeing that sunrise. That beautiful Oklahoma sunrise and that beautiful Oklahoma sunset. Last night was so amazing with my son. Sitting there listening to just the bugs chirping, the frogs that was bothering him going. I loved it. And I just kept thinking, man, that's what my father likes to do with me. I need to sit on a tailgate more often. I need to sit with him more often. I need to hear his voice more often. I need to take those limits off myself more often so he can take me to a whole nother place. You guys getting anything out of this? In Philippians 4:13, it said that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You know, I'm really ready to stop believing lies of the enemy that puts on us. He tries to put those on us and tries to get us stuck in this little spot that we feel like we can't get out of. He tries to confuse us so much. I'm going to ask if you'll come up to the piano. You know, I'm made in God's image, but do I believe it? His truth should be coming out of my mouth every moment that I have. Not confusion, not doubt. I know God can use people the most that are willing to take the chains off their life and let those limits get broke. I'm not going to let the world's limits that are placed on my life rule me anymore. You guys willing to say that? Seriously, are you guys willing to say, you know what, I'm tired of the change that's on me. I'm tired of the limit that I've put on my life. I want to see where God can take me. It doesn't matter if you're 90. It doesn't matter if you're 10. He still has some purpose for you or you wouldn't be here. Don't you want to find out what his limit is for your life? I want to know this every day. And it doesn't matter how high you get, whether you're a pastor or not, you still feel like you put limits on your life. You still hold back at moments. And we're in a battle, guys. Every day we're in a battle. And if we don't come prepared, man, the enemy's going to be all over us. I want to be so ready and so excited when I wake up in the morning that I ask my God into my heart every single day. And I ask him for the bread every day that I get so full of who he is that it overflows out of me no matter what. That when I'm around my kids, they feel God's presence. That when I walk into Walmart, people feel God's presence. I don't want that limit on my life anymore that I've set. I want to be that guy that people are going, wow, that dude's out of control. Yeah, for him. I don't want to hold back. If there's anybody in here that feels like you've held back this morning, guess what? All of us have. You ain't alone. He wants you to feel like you're alone. You're not alone. We've all done it. We all do it. It's part of human nature, we feel like. But I'm ready for those chains to be broke off, for there to be no more limit on my life, that I don't hold myself back anymore. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment and this message. We thank you for showing up the way you have in our life already, for what you're doing in our life. I can't wait to wake up tomorrow and feel limitless with who you are inside of me. I can't wait to go home today and just feel your presence and your limitlessness inside of me. I can't wait to see what you do through my sons as they go to camp and they serve you and they come back so full of you with no chains on them. I thank you for the life that you've blessed us with. I thank you for the moment that we get to wake up this morning and you're in our life. Your presence is here and we feel you. For children leading us. Because if they can get up here and lead, and if they can get up here on stage in front of people, why can't we do things like that? Why do we hold ourselves back from what you have for us? So right now, I just ask that you just put a boldness in each one of us. Not just a fakeness, but something real and true and only comes from you. That you'd put a boldness on each one of us, that we'd be willing to step out this week in your faith, that you would give somebody for us to talk to this week. Because we have the answer. And the answer is always you. It is always Jesus. Help us lead them back to you no matter what. And if they don't know you, help us step into that, that we can help them find you and who you are. Help them see your love through us. And you are so good and so real. I am so thankful you have blessed me with this family I get to be a part of. We love you. And nobody raise your head. Nobody raise your head. So I want to give an opportunity. If there's somebody in here this morning that doesn't know Jesus, that wants to invite him into your heart, and you've never experienced Jesus, and you want to know, is he real? This is your moment. Nobody's looking up. Everybody's looking down. Just put your hand up. Put your hand right back down. This is the single most greatest decision you can make in your entire life, is to accept and receive him in your heart. I know I joked earlier about heaven and hell, but it's real. And the only way we get there is through him. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for everybody that's in here, for your truth and your word this morning. Thank you that I finished early. We're going to get to lunch a little early. Truly, thank you for what you've done in each one of us. And I can't wait to see the chains broke off our life. I can't wait to see your limits on our life. Don't let us hold back. We love you. We thank you so much. In your name, amen.